Gambling interests contributed more than $148,000 to legislative candidates in 2004. In 2006, that number more than doubled to nearly $335,000. That's according to data analyzed by the People's Election Reform Coalition in Charleston, or PERC. Here's the organization's Julie Archer.
The gambling industry is one of the top 10 contributing interest groups to legislators. And then, you know, what we've seen as far as individual donors to legislators is in 2004, for example, of the top 10 individual donors, four of those were affiliated with gambling.
The push for table games in recent years has resulted in more money to candidates from gambling political action committees and gambling executives. In 2006, PACs gave $72,000 to legislative candidates, but that hardly compares to top gambling executives. Jeremy Jacobs, the CEO of Delaware North Companies, which owns Wheeling Island, gave $92,500. Ted Arnault, CEO of Mountaineer Casino Racetrack and Resort, gave $39,614. And two partners in Mardi Gras Gaming in Kanawha County gave a combined $72,000. Archer says gambling money often comes in waves.
Industries like the gambling industry are very influential, and you know what we've seen in the past is that there'll be a spike in contributions from a particular industry if they're prior to them making an effort to get a piece of legislation passed. Like what we saw in 1998, we saw a huge increase in gambling and particularly Greenbrier related contributions, and then the next year the legislature, they passed the bill enabling a local referendum on gambling at the Greenbrier, and then the next year their contributions went way down.
In Hancock County, some lawmakers who have supported table games work for Mountaineer Racetrack. Senator Ed Bowman manages Mountaineer's golf course, and House Majority Leader Joe DeLong, who is now running for Secretary of State, is an advertising manager for the track. Also, Mountaineer's Public Relations Director Tamara Pettit is running for the House of Delegates. Pettit served in the legislature from 1989 through 2000. She co-sponsored legislation that allowed racetracks to have video lottery machines. Back then, both Pettit and Bowman worked for Weirton Steel.
During that time, we saw the recognition, I think, of the gaming industry as exactly that, an industry that created jobs and brought significant revenue to the state. At the time that, of course, I went into the legislature, Weirton Steel was the largest employee in the state and, brought more revenue as far as jobs and taxes to the state. So certainly things have changed.
Delegate DeLong says he's received support over the years from gambling interests for his political campaigns. But he says sometimes it's hard to know which contributors come from the industry and which ones don't.
People who are, for example, big names like Ted Arnault, the president and the CEO of Mountaineer Racetrack, it's pretty easy to say that someone like that their contributions are direct gaming interest contributions. But beyond that, you have a lot of other contributors who are real estate developers, who are attorneys, who have ties to the gaming industry, a lot of times we as, candidates don't even know about. There's so many people. I mean, I guess the problem is where do you draw the line? How far do you go with it?
Senator Ed Bowman takes contributions from the gambling industry, but says he's not opposed to campaign finance reform.
Unless we change our political process and system in its entirety, which I'd be the first one to say, look, put me on that task force. I might have a lot of good recommendations, because I do believe, human nature is such, when you make acquaintances in Charleston, whether it be with lobbyists or this, to say that has no influence whatsoever, well, you'd have to be very naive, and I wouldn't be very honest with you.
Archer says her organization has the answer.
One of the things that our group has advocated is for public financing of elections, because you're never going to totally eliminate the influence of money in politics, but there are states like Maine and Arizona who implemented public financing several years ago and have been, making public funds available to candidates for the legislature and statewide offices. And Now, in those states, the majority of candidates who run for office opt for public funds, and it's making a difference in the kinds of public policies that they're passing.
Archer says the current system not only influences public policy, but also dictates who can afford to run for office. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Carrie Brown in Bethany.